the third chapter of Colossians. We're going to be, Lord willing, in the 18th verse this evening, and we'll read through the 18th through the 25th. And let's just go ahead and read and come back and start making some comments about last week. So again, that's the third chapter of Colossians, and we'll begin reading in the 18th verse. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Some mighty stuff in those verses. Last week we read so sweetly the rich wisdom, the detailed blueprint, I really believe, of the clothing that we can wear in faith before the Lord. We talked in that 12th verse about the elect of God, the holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And now, praise God, he singles out the family unit, and he really gives each participant the instruction of faith for success. And again, see, God really never leaves us wondering. People, I really believe, that don't understand nor want to and actually neglect. And as the Word of God, how can we neglect so great salvation that's been given to us? The answers are in the Word of God. Many times in my life I felt, well, Lord, you've, as David in a way, it's sounding brass. I'm not hearing anything back. Well, by the grace of God, yes, David was so sweetly spoken again to by Samuel, by the Lord. But how much more do we have in the epistles of Paul and the wonderful man that God had anointed to bring forth the word that we have today? But again, let's go ahead and start reading from the 18th verse. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Now, before we start commenting on this, and I'm glad not many of the ladies have left yet, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. God always gives us more than sufficient witness. But if we go over here to chapter 5, verse 21... and we'll be referencing back to Ephesians 5 and 6 this evening, so you might keep your finger there. It says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And you'll notice that's really the beginning of it, is when you submit to God, that's when God can actually take His Word by His grace and work it effectually in your life. So here we go. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, if you look up the word submit, it's a Greek word which means to arrange yourself one under another. And notice in our text, it's so sweet. And ladies, this will be refreshing to you. It's really not under your husband. It's under God. Did you catch that? I hope we did. See, this is His way. And again, hallelujah, by the grace of God, it's choice and it's voluntary. The world has made submission really a bad word anymore. It really has. The world tells that it's degrading. And I have to tell you this, I believe the woman that the world has created to me is degrading. Because it's beginning to be and continues to be anti to what the Word of God tells us. God's woman, and I believe, let's go and just go to a couple places here. Proverbs 31. Let's go over there. I'm just going to make some comments on it, but it's just such good word. I believe the Lord's encouraging us to read it. In Proverbs 31, let's go ahead and read from the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, we're getting ready again for a wedding tomorrow. And Lord willing, we've had a few weddings here as of late. And it's so wonderful to be able to sit down with a couple. And by the grace of God, and really truly by the grace of God, the Lord has given me some experience now in marriage. I do have 20 years down. Can you imagine that? It just went like that, you know? And I'm sure those that are 30, 40, and 50. But it's still choosing each day whom I'm going to serve by the grace of God. And it's submitting one another as unto the Lord. See, that's the beginning of every day. That's the beginning of every moment, is submitting to God and getting out of my self-will and allowing God to put in me a God-willed life. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonder. But in sitting down and talking with these young people, it's so important to pull together, isn't it? Yeah. A house divided against itself is going to fall. Brother Hill used to always talk about that monstrosity, which means dual-headed, you know, multi-heads. And it's so true. God gave us a certain order. And with God and His Word and His direction and the order that He has given us, He's arranged us one under another. When we get into that and submit to God as unto that, life is wonderful. It's good. We live such wondrous peace. It's amazing. But again, only by submitting to His Word, by aligning our lives again with the Word of God. But she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I know men and women that just like to get back at their spouse. How about you? Well, he got to do that, so I got to do this. That sounds like children to me. We need to grow up. The Word of God in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it says to prefer one before the other. It does. It's kind, it's compassionate, it thinks of the other before self. That's truly the love of God. We're going to talk more about that. I believe He'll bring us back into that here. But again, that's the very beginning of even understanding the love of God, is to love the truth, as it goes on to say. And I believe I'm going to have to say more about it right now. You start reading that as we studied in it. It rejoices in the truth. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It believes all of the truth. And by the grace of God, when He will make a couple one, and only God can make us one, and just as I was talking to those young people that were up here with their children, those babies here this last week, and the Lord so sweetly spoke to me. It's not mama and daddy and baby in a house that make it a home. It can be just mama and baby in a home. It can be daddy and the baby in a home. It's God in the home that makes it a home. And it's true. I can have the thing that's looking like it's the most perfect family, and I know I have a distant relative right now. They have lived life's luxury for many, many years. She has brothers and sisters that have truly sought God. In her life, she didn't. It's coming crashing down now. My heart goes out to her. But I believe God's after her. And it's a wonderful thing. But see, when you put your hopes and your dreams in this world, it's the wrong place. It's going to fail you. It's going to be, you know, wood, hay, and stubble. It's worse than that. It's just gone, you know. But God, hallelujah, if He can just to get us to look at this precious stone in every piece, in every bit of our life, praise Him. But she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings forth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, gives meat to the household and a portion to her maidens. I know, ladies, you're thinking about this. How in the world could I become this woman? Love God. Just love Him. Submit to Him. You'd be amazed what God can create in our lives. Praise His name. She considers a field, buys it with the fruit of her hand. She plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's the law of love. Hallelujah. She looks well to the ways of her husband and eats not the bread of idleness. Just think, look at what she's looking towards. She's looking towards that household. I hate to say this in a lot of ways, but the world has got everybody out of place. He's got the woman looking at her career. He's got the man looking off, not at his home as well either. When the enemy gets in there, he'll mess it up. When the enemy gets in there, he'll mix it up. And by the grace of God, it's so specific. I'm just going to tell you, I appreciate so people, men and women, that want to be men and women of God and do godly things. They're despised by the world. A lot of women that want to keep a home and raise children, they're looked at as dummies. They're looked at as failures. They're looked at as somebody that's not kind of with it in the world. But by the grace of God, ladies, if the Lord has allowed your home to be that way, blessed. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. But it says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. I'd like to read one other place the Lord's just putting on my heart right now. Let's turn over to Titus. And let's go to the second chapter. And we'll start from the first verse. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And I appreciate how the Lord just brings that out right here. As this, these characteristics that He's bringing out, that only God through faith in our lives can come out of our lives. This is what the Lord is bringing here. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And young ladies, you need to be in that place. It says the sheep hear His voice. I want to be in the place that I can hear the voice of God. Women, you need to be in the place by the grace of God under women that have gone that way, that are in the faith, to hear these instructions. These are hard things. I'm just going to tell you. You get to be 18, 19, 20 to 30 or whatever it is. I've went through those years. And there were times I wanted to buck up against stuff. Oh, I know. Oh, let me experience it. The Lord has given us brothers and sisters and moms and dads and different ones in faith that by grace of God, we don't have to go through a lot of this heartache. And we don't. And if you're in that heartache, get the power of God. Let Him be your strength and get on with your life and get into the goodness of God. But it says women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at the home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Pretty amazing there. There's many others, but I don't know how much you could bear right now. Amen. No, I think we're there. Praise God. And I think the Lord's bringing us that way. But again, the virtuous woman, she's called blessed to her family. She takes care of her home. She's soft-spoken. She's meek. She's not a busybody. She is wise concerning the things of God. And I don't know about you men, but I'll tell you what, that's a woman I can love. Huh? All right. Okay, ladies, now we'll go on the men. All right. Husbands. Ladies, we're awful quiet. Now it's your turn. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I appreciate that. Because God knows, doesn't He? There is going to be a time. A time? There's going to be many times, brothers. I'm going to tell you. We're there. And whether it is something that we didn't cause, or something that we did cause, the Word of God says not to be bitter against them. And it says that we are to love our wives. Just as the woman loves and honors her husbands, men are to love her. It's amazing how this pair, isn't it? In yielding to Christ, they will have a wondrous marriage. I didn't know anything about marriage when I got married. Shoot, I was 20. Can you imagine that? My wife was 18. See, I can say that my wife and kids aren't here tonight. And I don't want my kids to ever know that Daddy was 20. We have a rule in the house at 40. But no. See, that's the testing, and then there's more testing. I'm just kidding. All right. I got to stop that. But see, I was young. Didn't know much about it. Didn't know much about anything at that time, as they say. But you know what? God, in His infinite mercy, caused us to yield to be under Him where He wanted us to be. And I appreciated that, because really it was faith like a child with me. I mean, I had a wonderful example, I believe, in a marriage with my parents, and I really appreciated that. I appreciated the role that my dad took, the role that my mom took. I believe that they raised children that were fine, productive children, children that loved God, and that are going on with the things of God for the most part. And it's a wondrous thing. But there's a choice there. And it's a choice of yielding. And it's a choice of yielding every day. And I'm going to tell you, brothers, you want that woman to love you, and I'm going to attest to it, love her. Just love her. And that's how God is with us. Isn't it so wonderful? Again, as we've said many times, when you really fall in love with Jesus Christ, it's because you realize how much He loves you. And the only way we're ever going to realize how much God loves us is as we get into the Word of God. As we get into the promises that He's made to us. The provisions that He has for us. I appreciate the sister saying, you know, how we go into the throne room and there's these specific things, so specific, with my name on them. And they're there for me. And God says, please take of me. And the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, I'll tell you what, He'll take the things and give them to you if you yield to it. Hallelujah. What a precious promise. But again, it's amazing how this pair, in yielding their life, have this wonderful marriage with one another. Let's go back to Ephesians. Okay, men, some more stuff for you. Ephesians chapter 5, let's get into verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. I so appreciate this. The love of Christ, the covering of God, how God in His infinite mercy within His Son that came to die for us, hallelujah, continues to forgive, to cover, to make intercession, our advocate. Men, this is how we are to be with our wives. You can get your heads up. Come on, brother. You know, it's true. That's how the Lord wants us to love Him. Forgiving, compassionate, never-ending love, forgetting the things, nurturing. And I have to say this, women, do you think you could love a man like that? I believe you so. I believe so. Hallelujah. That's how we love Christ. Praise God. See, if you want a godly woman, men, you need to be a godly man. It's true. By the grace of God, encourage one another on. We're to be a testimony to one another. What are we doing in our home? You know, the Word of God says a kind or a soft answer turns away wrath. Can you imagine that? There's another wonderful word of encouragement to us. To be slow to speak. What do you think about that? Well, I like to speak my mind. And I like to speak it real quickly. I can't take those things back, can I? You see, they're already out there. Now, we're not perfect, but by the grace of God, let Him put temperance in your life. Let Him put patience in your life. Let Him put long-suffering in your life. The Word of God says between a man and woman, there are acts of due benevolence. You've heard me say that if you've come to a wedding that the Lord's had me do, and it's so important. Due benevolence is just acts of loving kindness. We need to pour it on one another. This is a mean world. It's mean. It's cutthroat anymore, and it's not compassionate. Everybody's got a motive. Everybody's got an agenda. Everybody's got a slant on something. And even when people come into marriages anymore, it's me against you. It's we've got prenuptials. We've got all of these different things. How can we become one when we have that many hang-ups? If I'm going to become one with somebody, I better just bring myself in there. If I bring in all of these other things and I could go on, and I have a lot of funny thoughts in my mind right now that I don't think I should share with you. But how could I ever become one? Praise God. I'm just telling you, the Lord is so specific in giving us the beauty and the blessing to live in a godly life. Okay, let's go to verse 20. Back over here. In verse 20 it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And again, for kids, to obey parents. Let's go over here to back to Ephesians again as well, chapter 6. Here's another cross-reference for us. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How wonderful. See, I don't care if mom or dad is right or wrong. Dad laid that one out with me real quick. I remember, and it took one time. I was a quick learner, and I knew that dad wasn't messing around. Whether I'm wrong or right, I'm still your dad. And I appreciate mom reinforcing it with, "Son, honor your mom and dad." And you know, it wasn't very hard. Because they lived the life of the man and woman prior to this verse as husband and wife. See, there's harmony in that home. A lot of times we expect things out of our children that we haven't planted because we haven't shown them. What do you think about that? How could they know if they're not seeing the love of God? How can we just get, I've seen kids and I've talked to them before, you know, we're a whole different family on Sunday than we are Monday through Saturday. It's true. We've talked about it, bringing God in the home. It's precious that we can come together and worship, and anything, any cold cup of water has its reward. Praise God. But by His grace, we're talking about yielding. See, I want to have peace, hallelujah, with God. That's a wonderful thing, meaning accepting Christ in my life. I have peace with God because I have His Son. But I want the peace of God in my life. I do. I don't want to be looking over my shoulder. I don't want to be going to bed at night with anger on my mind or on my heart towards my wife or my kids or things like that. I'm not saying I, again, live in Wonderland or anything like that, but in some ways I do. Because I'm living the heavenly by the grace of God. And you live that, and you show your kids that, and you bring that into your home, you bring that into your workplace, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to cause things to be different. It is. Now, you might catch some heat for it. I know a brother over there that's catching some heat for it. But by the grace of God, you have peace because you know you're doing the will of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I've always appreciated that. Even when I was doing a business venture or even an athletic event or whatever it was, I really believed that applying godly things in my life, meaning not to be slothful, really not to be lazy, but to be diligent. You know what I'm saying? To be disciplined. The Bible calls for that in our lives. To do it heartily is unto God. And when I have laid out that type of a life by His grace again, I knew whatever happened, I really felt really, really good. Because by His grace, I obeyed Him through that. So whatever the end result was, it didn't matter. I already lived the glory all the way through. Do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't matter if I won or if I lost or if it succeeded or if it failed. By the grace of God, I knew the path was glory all the way. Whatever the world saw, it didn't matter. It was between me and God, and there's peace there. That's a huge thing. Huge thing. I really believe in our lives. And instead of living with guilt and regret, and as I told you, I don't want to live Mr. Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda. I don't like that. My daddy sometimes would, well, we should have done this or would have done that or could have done this. No, thy will be done. I want to be definite. By the grace of God, I want Him to enlarge my steps. And the only way I can enlarge my steps is to walk with God. Okay, and that's exactly what this is bringing us into. And again, if we're believers of the Word and we really profess Christ as our Savior, why would not we want to be the people of God? Why wouldn't I want to reflect by the grace of God the Christian that He wants me to be? And it's His working in me. It's just a choice if I'm going to submit to it. I see the characteristics there. I pray, God, work that in my life. If I'll submit to it, it's going to be in your life. It is. Hallelujah. He wants it. And if He wills it and we're willing to accept it, He'll bring it on. Praise God. All right. Getting back to the kids again. We're to obey. And not just obey, but honor. To prefer, hallelujah, our moms and dads. To make them rejoice over us by the grace of God. To have joy in us. To want them, to want to please them. And children, when we do that, and I'm still a child to my mom and dad in a sense, I am. And I don't think that ever ends. It doesn't say just when you're young or when you're old, you honor your father and your mother. Shame on you if you don't. I really am telling you, you're missing a blessing. You are. I appreciate that I have a relationship like I do with my mom. Not that I'm trying to be a good kid, I just love my mom. And I appreciate what my mom did for me when I was a kid. Everything. Washed my clothes, got me up, fed me, drove me to all my games. I mean, just think of those things. But how much more? She always loved. She was always there. The disappointments came. I remember sitting on her lap many a time, crying. And all she could do is hold me and sing "When I See the Blood." Isn't that precious? That's what I think more about, the song that Mom always sang to me. She said it with na-nas instead of the words, but the tune was, "When I See the Blood, I'll pass over you." Hallelujah. And praise God that that's been in my life for so many years. But see, God then can make them, can make these children, praise God, our delight. But again, how do we get that as parents? We raise them accordingly to the Word. We're back on this again. Wasn't my plan, it's just where we are in the Scripture. We need to raise our children according to the Word, to chasten them, to drive out the foolishness that's bound in the heart of a child, the Word of God tells us. Believe it or not, parents, we are the head of the home. Can you imagine that? On my block, sometimes I think our house is the only one. Most of the time. No, I believe God makes it that way. But you see, you make a stand, hallelujah, and we need to get in there. We need to be part of their lives, and we need to raise them. It's just like a field, the Lord was again showing me. If we tend it, if we plant it, if we water it, if we weed it, what's going to happen? It's going to yield fruit, and it's going to yield good fruit. But I'm going to tell you, if you ignore it and you let it just grow up, you're going to reap weeds, you're going to reap thorns, and that's the way it is. Let's go on to verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I think this has a lot to do with boundaries. I think you've heard me say that before. Kids strive and call out for them. I think it's one of the most amazing things. Yes, I do correct my child. Both my children, not just one. They both need it. I've never beaten my children. I've never hurt my children, and don't do that. You correct your children. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. That's true. Okay? There's a correction that needs to go on. We need to understand that they need to be corrected. And in that, which was so precious to me, my oldest boy, not too many months ago, I just thought maybe he'd been a good kid for so long, he just hadn't been corrected for a while. I think Daddy was just a little bit lazy for a while, to be honest with you. Not that I was looking for things. God shows them to you. Just be under the hand of God and He'll direct you. in anything. But here it was. I know that boy was crying out for a spanking. As crazy as that sounds, I am telling you the absolute truth. It was like he wanted to be bonded with his daddy in that regard. Almost to the point where he took my hand, led me in, and wanted me to correct him. Isn't that precious? Thank God I didn't have to do very much there or anything like that. But I'm telling you, they're crying out for boundaries. They are. They want to know their limits. They want you to set them down. And the problem is as kids have grown up, is that most of them haven't had that. That's why they don't know. That's why they're always going to test everything and try everything, and they get into these things, and it's really sad. And they talk about it all the time, that they haven't been able to bond with anybody. That's part of the bonding with your child, is to set these boundaries. By the grace of God, be their head, be their home. Don't let them rule you. Encourage me. I don't have teenagers yet, and you're all saying, ha, 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 right? I get my first teenager, Lord willing, if Jesus tarry in August. He'll be 13, can you imagine? But I pray by the grace of God I can still trust in him and still be the same parent that God can make me be. I need to stand in defense of the gospel. The gospel needs to be in my home. The gospel needs to be in your home. And even if you have lacked or slacked or been a little bit slothful, you know what? It's never too late for God. It's not. If you keep going the way you are, it is too late for you. You've missed it. But God can bring it in. He can still bring joy in that home. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. But that's how we are to be with our kids in setting those boundaries and not being slothful, not giving up. And this provokes our children to love. Giving them the Word of God. Provoking to wrath is when we sow the world and the enemy in our home. And the last thing I think any of us really want to do is discourage our kids. I want to be positive with my children. I want to live positive with my children. And I want to let them know that nothing, and I mean nothing, is impossible in Christ. Do you build up your children? I hope you do. And I'm not talking falsely or anything like that, but I want to encourage them to achieve. I want to encourage them to go beyond what they think their limit is. And not as the world says. I'm talking about in God. Is there any limit to God? There is no limit to God. There isn't. I'm more than conqueror in Jesus Christ. He is all wisdom to me. I'm serious. I can get it. If I lack wisdom, if I lack knowledge, by the grace of God, I just ask him, and he says, he just gives it to me freely. Oh, hallelujah. That's the thing I love about my Jesus. He is my all sufficiency. Okay, let's go on to 22 and 23. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now this is a tough one to many, because everybody's boss is a jerk. Huh? I was thinking about that. Can't imagine what they used to call me, huh? All right. Oh, he's an idiot, huh? He's a no good. All the people I work with are incompetent and dumb. How many times have we come home and said that, huh? What do you think? I'm reading here, it said there, what it say? Servants obey in all things. Okay, what do you think? See, we can't do that, can we? There's just no way. I've got to tell him. I've got to tell that so-and-so how dumb he really is. You're missing the whole picture. I can't believe, you know, they let this, as they said, the Munyon run the company or whatever. My kids call them Momos, never mind. Okay, but it's just funny. Hallelujah. But you think about it. Does God direct your steps? Do you believe that? I believe He does. I believe He does. I don't believe you'd be here this evening if God wasn't about directing your steps by His grace. I don't believe there's any accidents. I believe by the grace of God He is working things together for my good. And I'm going to tell you, that's when I need to get down on my knees and say, Lord, shut me up and help me to submit. What do you think? Praise God. See, I want the blessing in it again. See, that's the beautiful thing about it. I want to live a blessed life. These are all the spiritual blessings that are in the heavens in Christ. They're there. But I have to live over there again to be receiving these blessings. And that's the only way I can get past my anger, my bitterness, my judgment, and all of these different things against my boss or my coworkers or anybody that's out there. I need to be living heavenly. And they're not going to be living heavenly, I'm going to tell you. They're not. And the enemy's going to fight it, and the enemy's going to fight it. But by the grace of God being that testimony, God's going to work something mighty. His word never returns void. By you living a testimony in your life, you are giving out the word of God. Do you realize that? You don't even need to speak a word, but by living the word in your life and in your actions, it speaks volumes of the word of God. That's Christ-like. They knew they were Christians, not because of all of their words and all of those different things, because of their love for one another. People know when you love one another. People walk into this place by the grace of God, and I've heard it so many times, and I appreciate it, and I hope we hear it so many more times, because it's to the glory of God. Immediately when I stepped in here, there's something different about this place. There's something over these people, and it's the love of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's thick. And by the grace of God, we want it to be that way. We want it more and more abundant all the time. And this is what he's talking about here, is by getting into that kind of a relationship and submission to God. And you realize that there really is for husbands and wives and children and servants and masters, as we're going to read about, Lord willing, here pretty soon. There's one common: submit. You got to submit by the grace of God. And I hope you see, and I don't need to make it deep because it's already there. This is our relationship with Christ. This has so much bridal undertones and overtones or whatever tones you want to see. It's all over the place. We got to submit. Why do you think he talked about those garments of kindness and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and then above all the love that is the perfectness that blankets it all? Why do you think he talked about that? Lord willing, next week in the fourth chapter, we're going to talk about how Paul is praying that God would allow him the opening of a door to give out the very mystery of Christ. It's complete, I'm going to tell you. There's a testimony in our mannerisms, in our walk. The light comes out by the grace of God, and the Lord is encouraging this in every single bit of our life. I appreciate how the Lord's been bringing this together in my life. Remember how we've talked about compartmentalizing things? I mean, that's what the world teaches us. Well, I'm going to put this over here, and I'm going to put this over here, and nobody's going to see this, and everybody's going to see this, and I'm going to put my best foot forward, and all those things. You don't do that with Jesus Christ. You give it all to Him. It's all on the altar. And He knows it all already. You're the one that's playing the guessing game. He already knows. I want to come clean with God, and I want to give Him every single bit of my life. But it's a choice. And it's all about submitting. I'm selfish when I hold anything back from God. I am His. You are His. First of all, He created you. But most of all, He sent His Son to save you. And you've accepted His Son as your Savior. And let me tell you something. You are a son of God. I am His. Hallelujah. Now I just want to get rid of all that weight that the Bible tells about so I can run to Him and by the grace of God, make Him mine. I want to make Him mine. I know His desire is towards me, and I want to be more beautiful to Him every single day. Thank you, Jesus. He is so sweet. All right. But see, we are to live unto God. And it's amazing what can happen when we live unto God. You look at Joseph and Daniel and Paul. Those are special brothers because they all lived and served in jail. We think we had it hard, but they went through long suffering and with thanksgiving. But as it says here, we do it as unto the Lord. You do it as unto the Lord. The Word of God here even brings out about slaves. Slavery to me is such a horrific thought. Slavery is so wrong. But you know what? God does not promote revolting. He doesn't promote that. See, that's man again. He promotes submission to His Son, trusting God for deliverance. See, that's so anti to man. We are encouraged now, especially in this world. Look what's going on even in our country today. Act out. Speak up. Be seen. Cause a riot. Get out there and march and do all of these different things. Now, I'm not saying the cause is just or the cause is unjust. I don't want to go there. God doesn't want me to go there. But I'll tell you where He wants me to go. Jesus Christ said to be still and to know that I'm God. That He's the one that fights for me. How insulting to think that I could do anything for God. And I'm talking to myself too. Because I'm concocting things all the time. Oh, I'm going to get at Him some way. Or I'm going to get back at that. Or they don't know who they're dealing with. And that's the truth. If I'd get rid of myself, they're dealing with God, a very God. And He is for me. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That He's the one that fights for me. Praise His name. I don't need to get into that. He's going to deliver me. Just like He delivered those children of Israel. Hallelujah. He says to be still, to submit, to pray, and observe the mighty hand of God. I love to observe the mighty hand of God. He's given me a sweet ear. In many things in my life, I've been observing the mighty hand of God. What a privilege. Okay, let's get over to verse 24 and 25 and we'll wrap it up here. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respecter of persons. See, there's always a great reward any time and every time we submit under the hand of God. And I think He's laid out so many things that we can have. I want to be a good husband. Isn't that a reward? I want my wife to be a virtuous woman. Let me tell you, that's a reward. I want my children to rise up and call their mother blessed. I want to have children that I joy in. Let me tell you something. If they took it all away, you parents, really, now, I want you to be honest. Take away all your wealth and everything. If you just had this, if you had that kind of a wife and that kind of a husband and those types of children, wouldn't you really almost have it all, naturally speaking? I know people that have had so much money. So much money. But so much heartache. I've seen children of multimillionaires blow their heads off. Because they didn't have daddy and they didn't have a mama. Oh, they were physically there, but they weren't mentally there. I don't want kids like that. Don't want to. That's a house. That ain't a home. We need priorities, brothers and sisters, because, you know, it passes so quickly. It goes so fast. Only God. But the Word is so simple. It tells us when we cease from our own works and our own minds and our own concoctions, we enter into the very rest of God. And that very rest of God is what rest that believes completely and trusts in Jesus. And in serving Christ in faith by grace, it says that we inherit. I would like you to turn over to Hebrews 6:12 with me. It says there that ye be not slothful. Don't be lazy in the Lord. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the faith and patience. Believing and enduring, brothers and sisters, that if we wait and trust in the Lord, hallelujah, it's going to be payday. But as we're reading here, by the grace of God, that payday truly, there's a lot of it right now. Because we can live heavenly. We can live our life by the grace of God that we're already seated together with Him in the heavens. I don't care what's going on again. There's many times during the day, hallelujah, the Lord reminds me of that. Enemy, I know you're right there. You're trying to bring me down. But by the grace of God, I'm seeing myself that I'm already seated over there. This is just a run through for my reward. But I'm already over there. You going to say that to him? You ever want to really defeat the enemy? I'm already over there, man. I don't know who you're talking to. By the grace of God, I'm already over there. I love that. I love that the Lord's been encouraging my life for so many years now, as the enemy seems to get a little bit hotter in things, because I know that the Lord lifts up that hedge a little bit more all the time in my life. Absolutely. He's trying to bring the best out of me. He's going to try to bring the best out of you. That's the job. That's the mission, by the grace of God. And how's he going to do that if he doesn't exercise you? It's got to happen. The only way that faith is going to be exercised by his grace is going to be in testing and trial and long suffering. But if we don't do this will, if we don't do it willingly, we are still his children. And I want us to, we'll close with this 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, we'll go to verse 12. It says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but don't despair, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That's our precious Lord again. Hallelujah. And I think that verse 14 is so wondrous again. There's a reward. And it's all by faith. It's all in believing. It's all in trusting. By grace we are saved. By grace and knowledge of the truth, we're going to grow in Him. Hallelujah. But if the work is not of grace through faith, it is always wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn. And brothers and sisters, there are consequences, grave consequences for our actions on this earth. We have to come face to face that if we are going to live a thorny ground life, if we are going to not tend to our field, we are going to reap sorrow and regret. It's a fact. It's an absolute fact. It does come back on us. A lot of people don't understand that. Read what that verse said there in Colossians. We'll go back and even touch that one more time just so we get it here. It says, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." It comes back. What we sow, we reap. If we sow corruption, we will reap corruption. If we sow to the flesh, we are going to reap the flesh. It's going to reap destruction. We had many witnesses of that in the word of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm talking our brothers and sisters in Christ. The greatest example to me is Lot. Look what happened to him. Look what was happening to his own family as he took up his residence there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you imagine to have your children taken out of your house for them to do the most unseemly things that you could ever imagine? Oh, take my daughters. I don't want you to do that to these son-in-laws. That's what it gets to. That's icky stuff. It's vile. But that's what the world is always going to produce. I see children that come through this assembly. The flesh sown. And that's what they reap. I'm sorry to say it, but it's a fact. Stand in defense of the gospel in your home, brothers and sisters. You'll be rewarded. Don't cater to it. If Jesus tarry, I pray that I can stand before you and live that testimony no matter what my children do, that mom and dad will stand in defense of the gospel. But hallelujah, if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap the Spirit. Hallelujah. As the Word of God tells me, if I sow to the kingdom, I'm going to reap reward. It's even His desire to give us that kingdom. By His grace, let's encourage one another, whether it's in our home, whether it's at our workplace, and all of those different things, to provoke to love. To provoke to love. And the love of God loves the truth. It believes all the truth. It endures the truth, and it hopes the truth. I tell you, He's bringing me into something I'm just so excited about. It's like the light just came on, and it's getting brighter every day. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, again for this time. I so appreciate you. I appreciate you being in our lives here. And Lord, I again just say, where would we be without you, Jesus? Thank you again for making us a people that are drawn, that we know that this word is so important, that it truly is our life. Hallelujah, Lord God. And help us to be just dear brothers and sisters that want to live the abundant life. And Lord, that's just a matter of submitting to the Word of God, to allow it to really work in our lives, to believe that these are things by Your grace, if we'll cease from our own works and again rest as God did in the very fact that it's in Jesus' hands. My life is in the hands of Jesus. The I Am, hallelujah, praise God, the beginning and the end, hallelujah, Alpha and Omega. And I am just so thrilled again, Lord, that You have called us into this fellowship this evening, Lord, that we're talking about things that are forever. People might think that they're stupid and silly and, oh, you're old-fashioned, you're old this or whatever. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful that I serve a living God. We just praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.